Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
I think you're really going to enjoy today's podcast. I really do. This show, I believe, is going to open up your eyes to the subconscious things and the lies, really, that we tell ourselves. And I pray, man, that there are several aha moments for you today. For those of you who are new to the program and have no idea what I'm talking about, well, first off, hello and welcome to the show. We started a new series on pornography addiction last week. It's called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. And yes, you can be both, believe me. Now, The Sex Spiral itself, it's a collection of 12 triggers of pornography addiction. These are not steps, they're triggers. And yes, there's a huge difference between the two. And if you're in a, for example, a 12-step program or maybe Celebrate Recovery, yes, this material will certainly help you in combination with your 12-step community. On today's show, we're going to continue our discussion regarding the four belief statements from Dr. Patrick Carnes. He's the founder of the term sex addiction. And these are the things that he came up with his research back in the 80s, I believe, with his first book titled Out of the Shadows. And if you haven't read that book, I'd recommend that to you. Yesterday, we discussed the first false belief statement, and it's a lie that we tell ourselves. It's, I'm a bad and unworthy person, and that's why I do the things that I do. And in this podcast, we're going to learn the other lies, these other false belief statements that we tell ourselves. Number one, that no one's going to love me as I really, truly am. Number two, my needs are never going to be met if I depend on other people. And number three, sex is my most important need. Once again, those are all lies. Those are all false belief statements that we tell ourselves. And these things keep us in this spiral. So let's get started with today's lesson. Number two, no one will love me as I am. And when I didn't live up to someone else's expectations, this meant that I had to change. For example, I turned into a chameleon during, especially when dating. I was trying so hard for a woman to like me. I remember getting on a secular website, signing up, and I scheduled 3 dates in one day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And by the way, it's kind of like binge dating. It's not only a dumb thing to do, it's very expensive, right? But I ended up liking whatever my date liked because I was trying so hard that I knew that I had to change who I was. And if I didn't change, I was going to remain unloved and alone for the rest of my life. That's what I believed. The problem with my thinking, though, is that I was putting on a front. See, I was wearing an invisible mask. And if you put on a mask, and I'm trying to get you to like me, and I'm doing things to get you to like me, where's the love going? It's going to the mask. It's working against itself. I'm trying so hard to be this person that you want me to be, and yet it's not me. So the love that you're actually giving to me is going here. And that's why I felt, you may feel, so empty in relationships because you're not getting the love. Yes, sir.
Kind of another thing, you know, no one will love me as I am. That's one of the big reasons why there's such a secret, because you don't want you out there because you're afraid no one's going to love you.
Right. Exactly. If you really knew who I was, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want to hang out with me. You wouldn't want to go play ball with me. You wouldn't want to go have a beer with me if you really knew me, right? So it's a lie. The very thing that we do to keep people away is the very thing that we need desperately. Absolutely. Number three, my needs are never going to be met if I depend on others.
This lie is one of the biggest reasons pornography or sexual sin is attractive on the onset. It's the illusion of being in control and my needs being met so quickly. Pornography specifically teaches that real sex and intimacy are too much work and that relationships are just too difficult. This is why I can't depend on others. I'm not satisfied but why what I'm receiving from them. Ultimately, porn teaches that God's design for sexuality is not worth the effort. Because we've taught ourselves, we've conditioned our bodies, and we've grown so accustomed to the instant gratification with sex, why should I bother? Why should I bother pursuing a real relationship? Life's just simpler this way, right? It's a lot less drama. But see, the truth is that sexual satisfaction only comes from completely giving myself to another person and not taking from an inanimate object. And then number four, sex is my most important need. This subconscious lie is one to where we as addicts will risk everything for our fix. And I mean everything. It's the reason we risk our jobs by viewing porn at work or on company devices. It's the reason we risk our marriage and our children's future by continuing in the web of lies that surround our porn use. It's the reason we risk our health and the health of our spouse by having unprotected sex with a prostitute, a stripper, committing adultery, right? If sex were not our most important need, then why on earth would we risk so much for so little? And yet at the same time, we've really never said that to ourselves, right? As you go through this, sex is my most important need. Well, no. See, that's a subconscious thing that by my behavior, it proves that I believe that, but I've never told myself that. That's why this trigger is so important. Just because you've never told yourself that, you've never heard yourself say this, it's the actions that go behind these statements. Does that make sense? It's my actions that are actually saying these things. And at the end of the day, we honestly believe that we're never going to get caught. I mean, we honestly believe that we're never going to get caught, that we're that one guy who's never going to get caught. We honestly believe that, right? That's the power of this sin. The reality of that, guys, should be shocking to you. That you're better than this. You're the one guy in all of history that this is never going to happen to.
Well, I'm just saying I'm lucky that I'm here. There was twice where they tried to steal my car and take me, and I got into a fight.
So you were involved in prostitution?
Yeah, I was picking up a hooker, and mm-hmm. they were setting me up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're...
I got hurt, I got killed.
Absolutely. So we must understand that these beliefs are lies straight from hell. We believe, and believe it or not, depending on what your theology says, guys, there are demonic forces that surround you inside this sin. And those demonic forces want nothing less than to take away your witness for Christ or either have you physically dead. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That word devour in that passage, it literally means to gulp down. You ever see a lion stalk her prey? Patient, strategic, just the right time. Just the right time. Oh, by the way, that right time is when you're going to be your most weakest, right? Because usually... They stalk the preys on the ones that are away from the herd. The stragglers, the weak ones. So bring that into this context. Are you inside your herd? Are you out there being the Lone Ranger? I don't need to call. I got it. I'm good. It's not that big of a temptation. And just as soon as you say that, bam, sin has mastered you again. So when we first start reading what God says about us in the Bible, it's unbelievable to believe, isn't it? What he says about us, first of all, that we're alienated from him, that we're sinners, and then we receive Christ, and now we're adopted children of Almighty God, the King of Kings. We go from one extreme to the next, right? And I think it's hard to believe that because we've spent the majority of our lives being attached or living out of our shame stories or out of our shame, out of our unhealthy thought life. So your shame story is the combination of could be a tragic event in your life, could be a low time in your life, but it's also how you deal with current events in your life now. Are you still working out of past events or some kind of pain? So I want to introduce four shame stories to you, and you can actually fluctuate back and forth between shame stories. Doesn't matter if you're at work, doesn't matter if you're at home. You could actually fluctuate between shame stories at work and at home, depending on who you're talking to. So, for example, if I'm at work, I may be the strong person leading my team, but if the CEO comes in, all of a sudden, I get nervous and I become the weak person. So we move in and out of these things. The strong person says, if I'm the strong person in the relationship, this means that you're the weak person, right? And if you're the weak person, that means you're the problem. Ultimately, if it weren't for you, I'd be just fine. In fact, you're the reason I choose to view porn and act out sexually. So everything is someone else's fault. Number two, the weak person. Since I'm the weak person in the relationship, I really do believe that everything that happens is my fault. Viewing pornography is simply how I deal with being weak. Number three, the wounded person. I've been hurt so many times, I just expect it. I deserve to be treated this way. I don't know how to be treated otherwise. And when people do treat me with dignity, I run away believing that I don't deserve it. And then lastly, the godly person. My worthiness is based on how much I sin or don't sin. This is probably one of the most evil. Obviously, that's a huge theological problem. Absent of grace and based in works, and it's one of the biggest reasons Bible-believing fundamental Christians keep their lust and pornography a secret for so long. So ultimately, when you combine Dr. Carn's four belief statements, those lies, to the shame story above, we continue to make our the most critical decisions in our life out of hurt and pain and past events. And if we choose not to engage in the truth of God's word and inside a godly community, then our shame stories actually drive our behavior. If we don't understand trigger number two and how to exit this thing, we'll continue to be a Christian addicted to something. And there are a lot of people in that place.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who deal and struggle with addiction. Stats tell us that every other man sitting in your church is actually addicted to pornography. That's over 50% of your church. That's insane. And women are not excluded either. I wish they were, but stats also tell us that between 20 and 30% of women are also addicted to pornography. Now, addiction simply means, in its simplest terms, that we can't stop a certain behavior even if we wanted to. So how is it? How is it possible that so many people are addicted to pornography? Well, there are many, many reasons for it, I guess. We don't have time to get into discussing that today, but you know what? That sounds like a really good idea for a podcast, doesn't it? I think I'm going to put that on my list. The good news is that we don't have to stay addicted. We have an answer to actually exit this disease of addiction called sexual sin. And that answer, my friend, is what we're going to discuss tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast. We're going to wrap up this three-part series discussing unhealthy thoughts. Now, it's interesting how many of us believe those lies, isn't it? Maybe we believe the lie that Jesus will allow us to touch the hem of his robe, right? And we're just going to miraculously going to be cured from this sexual bent that we have. Maybe we think to ourselves that if I would just pray harder, you know, if I would just read another book, if I would just force myself to not click that mouse, I'm going to be okay. I'll be able to do this. I'll be able to manage this thing. And I'm here to tell you, the moment that we start thinking those thoughts, that's the awareness that I'm talking about, we've already lost because we can't do this by ourselves. Have you ever seen a one-man band? Go ahead and Google that today. These guys look ridiculous. I mean, you've got one guy who's playing every single instrument by himself. He's got the drums on his back. He's got like a microphone strapped around his neck. He's got a guitar, a harmonica maybe. And then he's singing and he's dancing. Why? Why is he doing this? Is it because he can't get along with other people and he fired everybody else in the band? I mean, think about it. Life is not supposed to be lived as a one-man band trying to control every part of the song, right? Life is supposed to be lived with many members in your band and each one playing only one instrument at a time, which of course makes life so much lighter and sweeter. And it really keeps you in tune with God. It keeps you in tune with your family and your career. So let me encourage you to add a new member to your band today. In all seriousness, a member who will protect you and your family from the evils of pornography. And that member is Covenant Eyes Accountability and Filtering Software. They will do this for you, put it on every computer, every mobile device. Everything's going to be protected. I've been using it for years. So just let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you're going to receive a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is put my full name in the promo box. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm your host, Dustin Daniels. And if you are in Phoenix, man, I want to invite you. I really do. I want you to come to our weekly community group. It's for men and women. It's for husbands and wives, single, divorced. If you're sleeping on the couch and you're still together, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome. And you are invited to listen to God with us. It's Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church in North Phoenix. You can follow me on Twitter at Purity Pastor. Rate the show on iTunes. And if you've got a question for me, I would love to respond to your question at DustinDanielsRadio.com. You can email me there. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk, it's living. And that's what this is all about, living in God's power, the power that's in the very name. It's in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.